All right, guys. Welcome once again to your Dunce Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Brett Howard, and I've got John Barbin on the phone. And today we've got a lot of exciting new announcements, some things that are coming down the pipeline I think you're really going to be interested in. We're excited about because we get to actually do some things that we've been looking forward to doing for the longest time. And, you know, John, I know you're excited about some of this stuff, but I know you're not too excited because you blew out an eardrum the other day. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, I don't know if you can tell in my voice, but I've got a head cold, I guess, whatever, sinus cold and congestion. And a couple days ago, it ended up in my inner middle ear, I guess. It can instead of just having your nose all stuffed up, you can actually get it in your ear a bit. And so yesterday I woke up with just massive pressure, and it hurt like hell. And it was all kind of in the one ear, and I didn't know like how to get rid of the pressure, and I've been using decongestants, but that didn't help either. And it was pathetic. At one point I was like trying to find positions to put my head in to get the pressure to go away. Cause you know, you can kind of tilt your head and you can actually feel your sinuses sort of shift a bit, like where the fluid is. So like I'm lying off the end of my bed, like upside down, then facing down. Then I was like lying down the stairs. Like just any position to try to get the pressure to go away. And then, and so then I was in the bathroom blowing my nose and I just blew out my eardrum. And then the pressure went away, which felt really good. But then it got pretty scary because now fluid was coming out of my ear every time I blew my nose. And then, and so I called a couple of my buddies, who are physicians, and I'm like, is that normal? And they're like, yeah, you just ruptured your eardrum and it heals on its own. So. But it's a bit unnerving to blow your nose and then have a bunch of fluid pour out of your ear. So,
yeah, no,
it sounds
pretty weird. And considering we're going to Vegas in a couple of weeks, I mean, that's kind of scary too. With that being said, we are going to probably need a head count of who's actually coming because we're going to be doing some workouts and things like that at the Golds down there. And I've got to contact them and kind of get a, you know. Let them know.
Give them a heads up on how many people we're showing up with each day. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, So if you're listening to this, both men and women, obviously, because we have got a lot of women that listen as well. You know, make sure you send us a message in the forums or an email or something like that, and just kind of give us a heads up if you're coming to Unsummit.
Can you email us directly too? That would be nice. Like for the I'm pretty sure I have an idea of who so far has confirmed, but. But anyone who's confirmed and anyone who's on the fence and think they might be showing up, just email us so we know for sure. Plus, we want to get a little email list going of everyone who's there so we can communicate while we're there. I don't know. Maybe we'll set up. I haven't figured out exactly how we're going to do it. Maybe we should just like collect each other's phone numbers so while we're down there, we can all get a hold of each other. Because, I mean, we're not going to be together 24/7, but we still want to be able to like – communicate if somebody's in, you know, the casino just next over and we're all going to go out for something to eat or whatever, it'd be easy to grab each other. So definitely email us if you're in.
Yeah, and of course, if you don't know what Unsummit is, I mean, basically, we were planning on being in Las Vegas anyway. Actually, we were going to plan on being there for the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, like we were last year. But it just so happens that the contest ends like the week afterwards. And so we decided that we've all been to seminars and summits and things like that. And, you know, the best part of it is always afterwards at the bar. You know, that's where all the learning takes place and things like that. So we decided that we would just do an Unsummit and skip all the teaching and seminars and all that type of stuff and just get right to the hanging out part where, mm-hmm. you know, you can kind of pick our brains and, you know, there's no cost to it or anything like that. I mean, we were just going to be there anyway, so it just gives us an opportunity to kind of, you know, touch base with everybody, kind of see where everybody's at, kind of get some face time and you know, let this community really, really grow a little bit. So,
I guess the only actual, it's not even teaching, but the we will be working out every day. So, and we don't have to, but we'll be in there every day, so everyone's welcome to come and then. We can all train together. If you have any actual questions about training, we can do hands-on stuff in the gym. So
yeah, and we might film too. So just kind of as a heads up as well. So
yeah.
So somebody might have to hold a camera. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll all take turns. Whoever's like, yeah,
whoever's getting brutalized.
Yeah.
So all right. So next thing on the agenda, I want to talk about really quickly. Is you know we've got a couple of questions about genetic potential coming into the form. You know, we touched on that 2 weeks ago in the podcast. And with that being said, I think we need to transition and kind of explain what's coming down the pipeline, because it's relevant to what we're getting ready to talk about when it comes to genetic potential and things like that. So, John, let's talk about Adonis Uncensored, which is starting next week, and why this is relevant, why it's necessary, and why we're doing it the way we're doing it.
Okay, so we're going to start, as of next week, getting into stuff that we haven't yet got into on the podcast, and we're going to talk more frankly and more openly about a lot of, I guess, somewhat taboo issues that are difficult to talk about in this kind of forum right now. So we're going to get into the full spectrum from kind of people who don't work out to people who work out to people who work out more seriously to people who experiment with drugs to all the way up. And you have to start realizing that when a lot of the information you might see is through a lens or through a specific, it's for a specific target and for a specific reason. And a lot of marketers are always leaving certain parts out, like always. And that's because that part's difficult to say or is taboo or is not, it's kind of tricky with advertising and laws and things like that to actually talk about drugs and how much performance enhancing items are actually going into the concepts and ideas and models you see. So I know we have talked about it, it's in the books and stuff, but there's a lot more to it than anyone's really letting on. So the Uncensored, from now on, as an Uncensored podcast, we are moving to a platform where we're going to actually talk more frankly and openly about that.
Right, exactly. And so what's going to happen, it'll be next Monday. I've already got the first episode recorded with Brad Pilon, and we go into detail about inflammation and diet, but some other kind of taboo stuff, really dig into some steroids, some things about testosterone, some of his opinions that you won't hear anywhere else. You'll probably be surprised to hear. Again, just so you know, this will be a paid podcast. So, we'll give you some options on how you can take care of that, next week. But I think that you'll really enjoy it. Again, the reason it's paid is because, number one, as you've seen, we've never pitched anything in any of our podcasts that I'm aware of. And this is going to be no different, but it has to be behind a paywall. The information is just too, number one, it's just too valuable. Number two, it's too taboo. And number three, it's controversial. Number four, you've got to realize that with a lot of this stuff, we're literally going to be taking food off the plate of other people online. I don't think a lot of people really realize that when it comes to, sales and marketing is that, and just like John alluded to, when you've got a piece of content that you're reading, a blog post, anything like that, for most of the time, realistically, what that is an advertisement for that person's particular product or service, and it's constructed in that way, And so, instead of us saying, "All right, well, we're going to try to do all this stuff to sell more workouts," which, granted, that's kind of the low end of what we're really good at. We're just going to say, "All right, well, if you want the best stuff, and you're not going to worry about any pitching or anything like that, which we never do, this is just how it has to be, for the most part." Mm-hmm. And that'll happen on Mondays. And then and the other reason for this, and I don't think a lot of people understand, so for the next contest, we're going to have a lot of winners. And what people don't realize this time around is there're going to be a lot of winners. There'll be 15 winners, right? Or 15 people that place. Mm-hmm. We interview every winner, and we run 3 contests a year. So that means that's 45 interviews a year. That also means, we also have to do the kind of scale up for the contest in the podcast. We have to scale down, tell people what to do. So literally, the normal podcast, which what you're listening to right now, after April, will literally turn into the contest podcast. It will be kind of the state of what's going on in Adonis land as far as, the interviews from people who have gotten results ahead of time. That stuff's really valuable, so we don't want to cut that out. But it also doesn't lend to us not being able to teach on a higher level as well at the same time. You know, so, and running, you know, two podcasts in that regard would be just insane. So, we're not going to do that. Anything that's going to be, you know, on a teaching level that's above and beyond, you know, what that is, we'll go into the paid uncensored version, which is going to be really cool because we get to do and say and talk about some things that we just haven't had a chance to talk about and we never get to talk about. And I think it's going to be a good time. So, you know, with that being said, let's kind of cue into the genetic potential question, kind of bounce around that a little bit and talk about why what we just talked about relates back to that.
Yeah, so when you're looking in the web or magazines or anywhere for working out information, there's usually a barrier between you and the marketer. And that's the barrier we are constantly trying to take down. But people in our forums and, you know, just in general, people reading and commenting aren't just reading our stuff. They're reading everybody's stuff. And then every now and then we get a question about our opinions on someone else's stuff. The problem is the question itself is misguided because you don't have full information about the person marketing to you, or you don't have full information about what their theories are as far as how much they're divulging about drug use or not. So it's kind of the question itself is slightly incomplete because you're not coming from a position of being fully informed. So it's kind of like comparing two race cars and wondering why one's faster than the other and only just focusing on the color of paint. But, but you know, there's the engine really matters and the driver really matters. But all you've ever been told about is like paint colors. So if you need to actually really know what's going on, you kind of need to be shown a little bit more behind the curtain. So a lot of the questions I get on my blog and the forums, just in general, I kind of say in my head, I'm like, oh man, if you kind of knew what the full story, you'd know that question sort of doesn't matter. And that's kind of the problem with a lot of this stuff is everyone online kind of plays nice and kind of doesn't divulge that about anybody else online. Same in the magazines. Like bodybuilding magazines are very controlled spaces too. Like all of the advertising is very controlled versus all the other advertising. So you're getting a very, you're getting a message that can't stray too far any direction. So everything is going to look very similar to everything else for a couple of reasons. The magazines are supported by supplement ads, so they can't really go again. You can't read anything in a bodybuilding magazine that'll ever shoot down anything to do with any kind of supplement, no matter what. And
well, let's back up because there's another step on that as well. So the magazines are supported by supplement ads, but the supplement ads are supported by guys who are doing steroids.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, totally, and that's obviously never divulged in the ads either. And I mean, you can go watch Bigger, Stronger, Faster. Everyone knows that famous line from Christian Boving that ended up getting him knocked out of his supplement modeling contract because he basically called the end user or the reader naive for actually believing all he was ever using was a supplement to get into the shape he was getting into. So it's just this kind of layers of deceit, so to speak. And it doesn't mean that various supplements aren't of value. It just means your image of what you think it's going to do for you is distorted by the image you're seeing in the magazine. So it's most people can't actually tell unless they've been that far into the industry where is the line between what's realistic for you given your circumstances versus what's realistic for the next guy over, given a different set of circumstances, or if you were going to change your circumstances, how much further could you get? So, and do you even want to do that? And when I say change circumstances, I mean everything from how busy and stressful your life is to how many hours a week can you train to supplements can you afford to take? Do you want to use drugs? Are you strictly not going to use them? Would you use certain kinds of drugs, like stuff like that? So, and all of that changes which body image you can realistically shoot for as your particular goal. But most people will never tell you oh, that image right there requires this, this, and this supplement and drug to get there. And if you want to get there, this is what you have to take, and this is what it will cost. And that's it. And there's nothing else to it. And it's not a moral judgment call on anyone's part. It's just an if and then statement. If you use this, then you'll likely look like that. That's it. And the industry is just mired with this, this sort of, it's all fuzzy. You're never going to really know if any of the models you're ever looking at in any magazine, what they're even using, if they're on or not. You're not even going to know what they're using. If they, what if they have unlimited access to supplements? They could just be mega dosing supplements that you could never possibly afford. So they could actually be on exactly what they say they're on, but just at five times the dose.
Yeah.
Which may be supported in the literature. Like we've said before, certain supplements are studied to be effective at five, six, seven times the dose that's labeled on the bottle. And then, so you'd be asking yourself, well, why don't they sell it at five times the dose? But then but then it would be a $200 a month supplement. And you're like, well, I can't afford that. And then that's why they don't sell it at that dose. So it's a lot of, so you have to view a lot of the information you get, like kind of ask yourself those questions. Like, where does this person even get this theory? Do they have proof of this theory? If they do, if they're showing a model, what is that model really just following this, or are they using other things? So you've got, it's just layers and layers and layers of items that can add doubt to what you're reading about. And that's kind of, that's sort of the industry in a nutshell. And I almost think guys have it worse than girls, because all kinds of different guys, like athletes, fitness competitors, bodybuilders, all different venues are all using various things. Like pro athletes use just painkillers, anti-inflammatories, those. I mean, now that Pilon's doing his inflammation theory research, it's starting to become relatively apparent that anti-inflammatories themselves may help build muscle simply from killing systemic inflammation. So there's just so many things that go into it, that how could you ever look at a pro athlete or any of those people, like just even celebrity, just all right across the board? You just really can't know. It's like an experiment of yourself. And then when people start talking about theoretical ways to either supplement, nutrition, train, or all of that put together, it's still – there's some fundamental basis that works for everyone. Like, obviously you have to work out to build muscle. Obviously eating a bit less calories is what's going to stimulate fat loss. But then after that, it gets pretty tricky, because a lot of people are only referencing or looking at what a bodybuilder or some kind of athlete has a degree of muscularity they've achieved by using various items. But all of that's not useful to you unless you're going to use those same items.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that a lot of people don't realize, I mean, even this industry is starting to become literally like most pro sports, where you have the people that are at the top are the best of the best. They have the best genetics, right? So not only are you seeing in your images of somebody who is the best of the best, but they're also on at the same time. So not only is the person genetically just great, but he's also, on gear at the same time.
Oh, and just because people take something, everyone responds differently. Just like everyone responds differently to training, people respond differently to anything they take too.
Oh yeah, different types of gear, respond to different people. Some people get bitched at, some don't.
Some people just get stronger than another guy. Some people get a little bit bigger. It's you can't really.
Yeah, they didn't have anti-estrogens back in the day when like Arnold and those guys were lifting. It was like just whether you were genetically disposed to getting that. Mm-hmm. Or not. And I think that was actually one of the things that, kept people going or not. I mean, if all of a sudden you started growing titties, I mean, I guess you would quit. You know what I mean? I mean, that's obviously the thing that just can't hang. Mm-hmm. But, the sad part about it is that I don't think a lot of people realize how many people are actually on. And I'm not even talking about, like athletes and people in supplements. I'm talking about everybody. Man, I think it's more apparent than anybody ever knows. Even the guy in the gym that you don't think is big, I think is probably on. Just kind of doing some of the research, and here's why. If you do any Google search for just about any topic on health or fitness, especially if you're a guy, on the first page is going to be one or two forums that everybody's on. You know, the four, those things, I mean – the people that are in there, they're driving these forums up. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're going in and you're reading all this information, it's from guys and the community that's based around gear, you know? And so it just kind of perpetually kind of circulates. And so then you start to realize, I mean, you've got 130-pound guys, 18 years old, got plenty of room to grow. And the first thing they do is talking about which cycle they didn't jump on, you know? And so, you know, you've got to, and you were talking about it. Talk about that one dude that.
Oh, yeah. There's a guy in our gym just recently I noticed deflated, literally, like someone popped a balloon. And he's a young kid. But he was huge, like maybe 3 months ago. Like he was really big. He was lifting more than me. And not that I'm really strong, but he went from a novice in the gym to stronger than me, like in a few months. And he was, you know, bigger, way bigger than me. And then, and now all of a sudden he looks like he's just starting at the gym all over again. And I was looking at that thinking, man, he should have at least, and I was chatting with some other guys who it was clear, like we could tell that he'd just gone on and gone off something. And it was like, man, he should have at least spent a couple of years building up some amount of muscle on his own sort of before he even attempted to use anything. And it seems as though, and there's no data to support this, but anecdotally when that happens to guys, it seems as though there's two different ways muscles are growing with and without various drugs. And again, it depends on what drug he was using too, but it meant when he came off, it was as if he'd never worked out. Yeah. So it was dramatic how much he just went right back to where he started. And then it makes you wonder, well, what was the point if that's that transient? So, and then it also makes you think, man, there must be two ways this is happening, because if he'd have just worked out normally, he probably would have progressed better than where he's at right now. So,
yeah.
So there's a lot of misinformation. Nobody was guiding him on what to do. He just grabbed something, bloated right up, and just shrunk right back down.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, because, you know, now it's almost like having, you know, the only way he's ever going to get results in his head is that.
Oh, yeah. He'll probably believe that, oh, man, I just need to use something else now or use it longer or post-psychotherapy, all this kind of stuff, right? And he's losing sight of the fact that he could actually get in shape without that stuff. And maybe, you know, if he's still that curious, maybe years later when he's, like, maxed out what he can do without it, then he might want to think about it if that's his goal.
Yeah, and the sad thing about it is that most of these guys have no idea, because of that, they have no idea of how to work out at all, right? And so, you know, you're in a situation where you're using tons of gear to get where you're at, and then, you know, now what? I mean, you have no idea of how to actually, you know, work out, construct a workout, put some things together, you know, and you can be pretty
sloppy and pretty lazy with your workouts when you've got that kind of extra support, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you don't really have a foundation of knowledge that you would know what matters, what doesn't. You start getting wrapped up in all the, you know, timing, which can matter, you know, if you're on. I mean, yeah, I mean, mega dosing with 400 to 700 grams of protein a day might matter, mm-hmm. you know, when you're doing that. But, you know, for the rest of us, you know, it's not really going to matter. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying is that, so you're going to go online, you're going to look, you're going to say, how much protein do I need? And the first couple of things that are come up are forums that have guys on steroids, mm-hmm. you know, so that's the information you're going to get. And so that's why that information keeps propagating around, because it just keeps, it's kind of an endless cycle. Yeah. And God, no pun intended, but
that's a good one.
You know what I mean? But it really seems to be that way. Yeah. And then people start talking about, you know, how do I blow past my genetic potential and all this stuff like that using hype words. But the fact of the matter is that most guys will never even touch their genetic potential because they haven't even, you know, got past their lifestyle potential.
Yeah, I think lifestyle potential is way bigger limiting factor than actual genetic potential.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, some guys may be predisposed to growing a little bit easier, you know, working out a little less and things like that. But, I mean, like, literally, if you're not like somebody like, let's use Michael Phelps as an example because everybody knows who he is. I mean, literally, his whole life is built around training, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, his whole day. You know, your bodybuilders and guys like that, even the guys on, you know, copious amounts of gear, you know, that's what they do. That's their job. And so, of course, yes, these guys will be able to maximize their genetic potential and all this stuff. And keep in mind, they also have a genetic potential that's probably greater than yours in this specific modality. And, you know, of course, yeah. Makes sense. That's what
and Michael Phelps was still an outlier because everyone he competes against trains as much as he does, and he still beats them.
Yeah. So it's kind of a crazy thing. I mean, I don't even like that phrase anymore, you know, genetic potential. You know, I think we've got genetic potential pretty nailed with AI. You know?
Without using anything, AI seems to be the potential.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be where
and a true AI, not like an under AI.
Yeah. I mean, the true optimum, you know, your shoulders are, you know, about 0.7 of your height, that type of deal.
Oh, and that actually brings up an interesting point. There was a thread in the forum about some people still think maybe our AI waist is in shoulders. Is, some people are finding that seems unrealistic for them. They're like, how could I ever be that big? Because they're already lean, but they're inches and inches below what we've calculated as the ideal waist. Now, there may be a distortion as you get taller. So our numbers work for most average size guys. So average size being 5'10", 5'11", 5'7", 5'8", like kind of clustered around the 5'10 height. But as you move away from that height, both upper and lower, but especially upper, guys who are 6'3", 6'4", like getting up in that height, it may be there's a higher proportion of people who tend towards the ectomorphic look. So,
sure.
Which makes sense because part of the definition of an ectomorph is tall and lean, but like tall. So it makes sense that maybe more guys that are taller come in under our numbers simply because that more of them at that height are sort of more ectomorphic. And then the guys that are 6'3" and 6'4" who actually have our numbers are guys like Tim Tebow, and they're pro athletes. So,
yeah.
You know, so it might become more. First of all, guys who are 6'3" and 6'4", that's rare anyways. And then a 6'3" or 6'4" guy who has an Adonis ratio that's right on the button is now you're looking at pro athlete caliber size person.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, or a guy like Dwight Howard. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like a guy who's 6'10 or 11 at our numbers is, yeah, best player in the NBA. So that's kind of the distortion does happen as you get taller. Or like LeBron James, he likely has something similar to our ratio, right?
Sure.
But he's also an elite world class athlete. So as you get taller, it probably does distort.
Yeah.
And the BMI actually distorts as people get taller. It's actually less accurate for taller people. So there is, and these anthropometric calculations have been done, and there is precedent that what can be predicted for average size people loses its predictive capacity as people get taller. So as you become an outlier, like Dwight Howard or Shaquille or these guys who are really, really tall, some of our calculations for body mass index and our calculations too for our stuff probably don't necessarily apply 100% to them, or they're less predictive because it's hard to tell what's going on when a body gets that big.
Yeah, which makes sense. But then again, when you're talking about the somatotypes and stuff like that, I mean, we're still only talking a swing of 14 pounds either way.
Oh well, yeah, and again, anyone who's it's rare. The numbers become they're applying to less and less people too.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're looking at let's say your ideal waist is let's say I don't know about 34, you know, at six. At 6'2 or 6'3, let's say a 35 at 6'3. I'm just guesstimating. But you may find out that you're at 34 or something like that. Well, that might be about right because, you know, if you skew 7 pounds, you know, that's about an inch, you know, of a waist. So, I mean, that would make sense. So I wouldn't get too, you know, wrapped up about it. Remember, it's a convergence point. You know,
and it's also the best look that you can get.
Yeah, I mean,
this is what we're getting at.
Yeah, I mean, perfection is, you know, it's there, the numbers are there, and things like that. But again, like I say, it's a convergence point. It's what you want to do to be able to get to that point, and how much effort you want to put in. Like perfect example. Like for me, a 31.5, 32-inch waist, that's not 6-pack, 8-pack. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want that, you know, because then my shoulders start shrinking. I'd rather have the shoulders. Mm. So, you know, but that's me at AI, but it's not with a strong, you know, 8-pack and just rip down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, that's, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. That's just too much of a hassle for me in particular. So you just have to decide where you want to be. The measurement and the lines are there. It's just, you have to decide where you want to go with them.
Right.
So other people like having the 6-pack or whatever, but almost to a man, I think we talked about this. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but almost to a man, you kind of have to decide whether you want an 8-pack or whether you want wide shoulders. It just seems like they don't go together.
Yeah. Well, it's the degree of ripness. It doesn't mean you won't have visible abs. It's just the degree of how lean you really get. And again, part of this comes down to fat distribution patterns. One of the guys in the forum, your name escapes me, but you know who you are, it posted a DEXA scan that he had done. Mm-hmm. And he turns out he's, you know, it turned out that he was like 15 or 16% body fat, but he had visible abs.
Right.
But it turs out he has his fat distribution pattern has a lot more fat in his legs. More of a female fat distribution pattern, if you will. So it's the fat that's stored in his legs that brings up his overall body fat percentage.
Right.
But his actual torso was much lower if you just looked at it as a unit.
Sure.
So that's why his overall percentage was higher than you'd predict for what his abs look like, but that's because he's storing a lot of it below his waist, which when I judged a few contests, a lot of the fitness competitors on the women's side were like that. They still had smooth legs but ripped abs.
Yeah.
And that's because genetically they're just going to store it in their legs.
Yeah, and we're not calling you a girl. So.
No, well, some guys have that. And I mean, yeah. I bet you a lot of guys would trade in lean legs for fatter legs with a 6-pack.
I was going to say the same thing. I think I would because, I mean –
Plus, it also gets rid of that issue of some guys who seem to have like kind of skinny legs.
Yeah, that's true too.
So everyone's different. I mean, most guys will store it around their waist, and that's the last place it'll go, and then their abs come through right at the very end. But some guys aren't like that. Like one of my buddies, I used to help train for his when he competed, he was the same way. He would have a 6-pack, but his legs would be relatively smooth. Like they were big, but he had the least defined legs every time he competed. And he's
sure.
Like, I don't know how much leaner I have to get. And then he's like you were saying, he started losing upper body size. And then it's almost like his legs were never really going to get lean enough, without him losing the appeal of how his upper body started getting too small compared to his legs.
Yeah, so, and, you know, and one other thing to consider too. I mean, there's a difference between being, you know, contest lean, even from our standards, you know, our contests and stuff like that. It just kind of comes with the territory, and kind of real life lean. Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and you don't have to get as lean as Mark Levy or Alan Elliott. Like those guys took. I mean, and you can if you want to, but you don't have to. And that's
yeah, sure. I mean, you get to the point where, you know, getting, you know, super contest lean. We talked about this in the past. I guess we talked about it on the women's side, you know, the last time around. A lot of times when you get that lean, you can look really kind of strange in public, like when people really see you. Like in pictures, it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So and I had a guy, Joe Bovino, I sent an email about him not too long ago. He's one of the guys in PX90. He was making a comment that he actually got was really lean, and you know, he actually had people coming up to him asking if he was sick, like just random people in the bar. Mm-hmm. And because he had really just, you know, he looked good in video and stuff like that, but in real life, he just looked, his face had just sunk in and stuff like that because he had just gotten too lean, apparently.
Yeah.
So, you know. Again, it's up to you, but you know, AI in particular isn't necessarily the super ripped out of your mind look. You know, so just kind of keep that in mind. It's kind of the 95% look, I would say. It's that point to which you can live a regular life and still
have an exceptional body.
Yeah, still have an exceptional body. And but if you want a better body than that, or what you perceive as better, which honestly I don't even know I don't think it would behoove you to take it that farther unless you were going to be in a contest or unless there was money on the line. For most people, I don't think I personally I don't think it's worth it. That's just my opinion. I don't think it's worth the time and effort you're going to have to put in, because you'll have to put in double the amount. Take whatever time you're spending now, and you're going to have to spend at least that much time on top of that to go farther because of diminishing returns. That's just the way it is. So that's for me personally. That's why I'm like, you know, I don't even care about an 8-pack, because I know what it's going to take to get there, and I don't care. So what else did you want to cover? Did you want to cover anything about genetic potential, or do you think we nailed that down? Or
yeah, well, we're kind of reiterating the point that it's not your genetic potential you're ever bumping up against. It's your lifestyle potential that you're actually bumping up against. And so when you read articles about genetic potential, it's misplaced.
Yeah.
Like you can only speak about genetic potential when all those other things are maxed out.
Yeah. And you have to realize too, I mean, everybody that's trying to sell you something, I mean, that's their job. Like, so it's not only their job to sell you something, but it's also their job to look the way they look. So, I mean, if you've got somebody that's kind of ripped out of their mind or whatever, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, it's just like pro sports in this industry to actually use performance enhancing drugs, because that's where the money is. Everybody knows that's where the claims are. Even if you claim you're natural, you know, so it's just like a baseball player. You know, you can be Barry Bonds and you can make $10 million a year, or you can choose to not go and, you know, you only make $500,000. So, I mean, there's legitimate money on the line when it comes to this stuff. And so it's a tough choice. So just keep that in mind whenever you're reading things and looking at pictures and stuff like that. Just realize there's a tremendous amount of pressure to actually produce a claim.
Yep. And BNA models for in all over the place. I feel like we're just beating a dead horse here. It's just really, there's probably more to most of it than you think. And that's about all that really needs to be said.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, not only roids, but Photoshop, and not even Photoshop, but fake pictures. Pictures of people that aren't even...
Oh, yeah, like Pelon's picture's been...
Hijacked, yeah.
Hijacked. And, I mean, there's people who train other people on how to go purchase BNAs for their website.
Oh, like, yeah, sure.
And not steal them, but just purchase them. They're actually for sale. So, yeah. I mean, that goes on too. So our guys are real guys, and you can talk to them in the forum. And I mean, we're trying to and this is part of why we're going to the uncensored format too, and a paid format, because our stuff, our free live podcast, the content version of it, not the like when we're actually doing the teaching, kind of like what we're doing today. That stuff, it gets mixed in with everybody else's stuff, and then the average person listening can't tell if we're the same as everyone else or not. So,
and yeah, there's nothing to distinguish it. Yeah,
yeah, and we're not the same as everyone else, but you know, I don't know that people can tell that. So we're drawing that line ourselves.
Well, the other thing too is that we've had a lot of people want more sciencey stuff, and we can't get. It's not worth it for us to get sciencey in a public forum, because then there's just like arguments everywhere, and you know, you got, you know, Joe Blow couch potato, you know, trying to argue a specific point because he read it somewhere else from somebody that has no idea what they're talking about, and it's just not worth it.
Well, I mean, if you want it and you're serious about it and you actually want something of real, now you're asking me to teach you an undergrad course for free, and I'm just not doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first one on Pelon, Pelon got into some pretty deep stuff, and I was like, so it was really interesting because I had to continually go back and put it in layman's terms.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So, I was like, all right, so what you mean is, so what you're saying is this.
Well, the point is, do you actually want to be educated, or do you just want to continue consuming marketing?
Well, there you go.
Right. That's... So you can, for free, you can consume marketing from everybody else, or you can actually get educated with us, and that's just it. There's nothing really else to be said about it.
Yeah, it's kind of bottom line. And like, yeah. I say, and if you need proof, we got 100 hours of podcast beforehand that you can listen to.
Right. And most of the free content you'll ever read or hear is a pitch or a scaling up pitch to something.
Sure.
Yeah. And we, so. I don't know, maybe we were dummies for not doing that. I don't know. But.
Well, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Live and learn. Like I say, I mean, we still provide value. There's a lot of good value that's getting ready to come in, you know, with all the interviews. People get a lot of stuff out of that. But, you know, for the next level, I mean, we're kind of bored, to be honest. I mean, there's only so many ways we can say certain things without really digging into some of the deeper issues at hand, but we can't dig into the deeper issues at hand because, you know, you're in a public forum and, you know, now it's, you know, you against this guy and all this other stuff. And it's just not the way we want to operate. So you know, that's kind of the way that is. And plus, honestly, we need to improve as well. I mean, it's kind of funny. You know, when we first started the podcast and John and I were listening to ourselves, we were like, oh, dude, we suck. You remember? Yeah. You know, we're just like, oh, this is awful. You know, and so, I mean, it's just another opportunity for us to improve and get better at delivering better and better content, you know, at the same time. So, you know, and we appreciate being able to do it. Don't get me wrong. We just want to be able to deliver the next level of stuff and not just try to increase the price of workouts to try to compensate for providing a lot of material, which I don't think is fair. I'd rather, you know, actually get more people in the workouts at a lower price, which if you notice, if you go look, we actually lower the prices on some stuff. So if you haven't purchased our stuff, you know, you can go look now and it's that they're actually a little bit less. So in anticipation for this, because, you know, I don't want to subsidize, you know, this type of learning for, you know, trying to jack up the price and other stuff. So, all right. Well, I guess we kind of beat a bunch of dead horses in that one, huh?
Yeah. There's just dead horses everywhere right now.
Horse meat for sale. Anybody got a jerky machine?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, cool. Well, got anything you want to close on?
Closing tutorial should be up. We're going to be going through it with we've got a bodybuilder who agreed to volunteer to be our model while me and Pilon teach. So we're going to show everyone how to hit a few of the standard poses and help with some lighting stuff for the open and the transformation guys. So everyone will be exposed to that next week.
Yeah,
and that'll give you a couple weeks to study it and practice.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, because I think we've had a lot of people that could have done a little bit better in their picture taking, especially some of the back poses.
Oh yeah, and go look at Weave's side tricep pose. It was really good.
Oh yeah, what the world?
Yeah, that was good.
60-year-old man looking incredible.
Good job on the lighting, on everything. That was great.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I was impressed. So, yeah. Like I say, we keep somehow, some way, we keep getting people extraordinary results with seemingly simple advice. So it still blows my mind. But.
Oh, and I guess my last point is if you're in the middle of following our program, it doesn't serve you well to constantly read other people's websites or read. Yeah, I mean, because marketers are good at what they do. They're good at writing compelling information. And it will lead you into thinking you're doing something wrong, or it'll lead you into like, oh, maybe I'm missing something. Like that will always happen if you go reading other people's stuff. So at the very least, see, I don't even care whose program you're following, at least see it through to some kind of completion before you read something else.
Yeah,
it's just, like you're just, all you're going to do is stress yourself out and you're going to get off track, or it doesn't make sense to split your attention that way. So, do what you want, but all I'm saying is that's typically what'll end up happening is you'll get yourself second guessing what you're doing, then you might like back off on some of your effort or intensity, or you might lose a bit of, I don't know, drive or focus. I just don't know why you'd read conflicting theories or multiple concepts at the same time. I can't see how that actually benefits you in any way.
Well, Pilon made an interesting comment yesterday when I was talking to him. He said, you know, the essence of marketing is finding a problem for somebody that they didn't know they had.
Oh, then you provide the solution. Yeah.
Then you provide solutions. So basically you're sitting there reading an email. Next thing you know, there's this problem that the expert found for you, you know, and now you're all freaking out about that. But
add new stresses into your life to worry about that you didn't even know existed. And the point is they don't exist. It's just a story. And then you go searching around for a solution, and lo and behold, they're the only person that has the solution.
Yeah, or either that, you go read all the other stuff, and next thing you know, you're in drug territory. And
whatever. Yeah, so
it's crazy. The Google search of death.
Yeah,
it's kind of what it is. So, all right, well, we beat it to death. So, look for the first Adonis Uncensored with Brad Pilon on Monday coming up. It's really good. I think you're really going to enjoy it. A lot of really, really controversial things inside of it. And then on Wednesday, we'll have the normal podcast will go up, and then a video with the posing tutorial and things like that. So I look forward to that as well. So for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.